Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where I explore the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel seen. Please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only because we are 5-star bitches. We're Tio Gotti. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of that good stuff. I'm your host, Sequoia, and today joining me to chat about country music, we have award-winning journalist and BPLP fan fave, Jewel Wicker. Hello, Jewel.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for coming on again, per usual.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to dive right in. We're going to jump into country music, okay? I'm going to define country music a little bit for the girlies. Very brief definition that is not inclusive at all. It's from Wikipedia,
per usual. That's what I said. It's from Wikipedia.
You know, right. I'm like, we can go with this, sure.
I want to hear it.
It says, country, also called country and western, is a music genre originating in the southern and southwestern United States. First produced in the 1920s, country music primarily focuses on working class Americans and blue collar American life. Sure, Jan. Yeah. The next line on Wikipedia did go into African Americans had a lot to do with country music and all that, but it was like part of a really big paragraph, and I was like, I'm not about to read this whole big paragraph. But
not
just know,
Negroes had a outsized paragraph long influence, but however, sentence. I will not be reading
they
that.
Had a sentence in a paragraph.
Oh,
the paragraph went on to talk about like Irish Americans and a whole bunch of other shit,
and I was like,
this is weird. Yeah, so I moved right along, and here we are. So we know the niggas had to do with country music. We know that it started where it started. You listen to this podcast, you know what it is already, I'm assuming. So Jewel, may I ask your favorite country song?
Oh, I don't know if I have a favorite song.
Okay, you got a favorite
overall.
Artist?
I would say my favorite country music, I do turn to lean more country pop, and my favorite country artists are always women who are fed the fuck up.
Are there men?
I literally
couldn't name.
Hard for me to recall. Yeah. And it's funny, I don't know if you know this, but I covered country music primarily for the first part of my career when I lived in Harrisburg. I don't know why you think that Drake and Yo Gotti were coming to Harrisburg, but they were not. And so when that. I covered entertainment, yeah. I covered concerts, and the concerts that I covered there were Jason Aldean, Miranda Lambert, Garth Brooks, who told me that I reminded him of his daughter. I was like, sure. And so, nice man, very lovely. I think he meant it as a compliment. I'm going to take it.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so I cover hip hop now because I'm back home in Atlanta. But when I got out of college, I covered country music, and I went to a lot of country music shows, and I was the black woman there all the time. And I was always like, this could go left.
Wow.
It could go left.
Sounds terrifying.
But even from that, like I always have gravitated more towards women in country, and specifically women who were burning shit down.
Mm-hmm.
So Miranda Lambert is like a huge favorite of mine. She's probably my most listened. Also Carrie Underwood. Oh, Kacey Musgraves is huge for me. I feel like that's a fave of mine. So yeah, I'm younger, so my introduction to country is some of the like newer artists, but I would say like the women by far are my favorite.
I really need to get into Miss Kacey. I know that if I actually sat and listened to Golden Hour, I would be into it, I'm sure. It's just, there's something so overwhelming about listening to a full album of an artist that I'm not familiar with.
But you don't have to listen to the full album. Just start That's somewhere. True. And maybe, That's you true. Know, like you don't yeah. have to make yourself listen into the whole thing. I got into Kacey Musgraves because she performed. I didn't know who she was. And she performed at the Grammys one year. And mm-hmm. I thought, wait a minute, mm-hmm. I like this.
I did like
that. And so from there, I went into like listening to her more. And I think it was her very first song. It was Merry-Go-Round, I want to say. And so anyway, I got into her from there, and I've just been a fan ever since.
Okay. So if you had to put together a country music starter pack for a girly like me who really doesn't listen to much country music in general.
Okay.
What artists or songs would you put in the country music starter pack? I also do like pop, you know, I swing pop a little bit more than than anything else.
You probably could start with somebody like Miriam Morris, who is more pop than she is country. She's like country pop. Like, you probably could start somewhere like that because mm-hmm. I think she's really accessible. But I say starting with Golden Hour, I say starting with Miranda Lambert, a song like Kerosene or Gunpowder and Lead is my personal favorite.
Oh, she blowing shit up for real with Kerosene and Gunpowder and Lead.
Gunpowder and Lead is literally, first of all, some of the best storytelling in music. That it's my all time favorite, but it's literally a song about this man slapping her and like abusing her, and he goes to jail, and she sits in the driveway waiting for him to come down the street after he gets out with her shotgun. Because she said, that's going to be the last time you put your hands on me. Or anybody. And I know that much.
I bet you won't have a motherfucking
hand. So, and the lyrics, I'm going to show you what little girls are made of, Gunpowder and Lead. I unfortunately am a fan. Hey. Miranda, I like it. Hey. I love it. I do like it. Mm-hmm. So I think starting with like song like Miranda, maybe Marin, because I said Marin, like I said, Marin is a little more like country pop. But honestly, like even if you listen to like I'm a Daddy's Lessons stan.
We're gonna talk about Daddy's Lessons too, but we can talk about Daddy's Lessons
now. Stan. And what I love about that performance that Beyonce did with the Dixie Chicks is they like put in some of the Dixie Chicks music mm-hmm. into that performance. And so I think that's a good like gateway into, if you're not familiar with the Dixie Chicks, or, you know, who were very polarizing in country music and made songs like Goodbye Earl and stuff like that, that was really saying some shit, you know? So I think that could be a good entryway into them as well. Cause I think the Dixie Chicks story is really, really fascinating to me.
Okay. The only thing I really know about the Dixie Chicks is that they started off as the Dixie Chicks and then they changed the chicks because they're more progressive than much of their country music counterparts.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. They were country music darlings. And then they criticized after 9/11, the war in Iraq.
Yes.
And I think they were overseas when they did it. They made a kind of like an off-headed comment that got filmed, and the way that all of country music said, and we don't fuck with y'all no more.
Okay.
Not y'all are not American patriots.
Okay. Never been that.
And so a part of Beyonce like bringing them back on the stage was to be like, if I'm gonna come back, I'm bringing back somebody that y'all like.
Period.
That had legacy that y'all tried to throw away because they were saying something that y'all didn't like. So the Dixie Chicks for sure.
Okay, love that. And how do you feel about Daddy's Lessons? Like the original version that's on the album. Did you automatically go up for it in the first place?
I'm a stan. First of all, you know how I feel about Lemonade. I think Lemonade is like one of my personal favorites. I'm still reworking the rankings. Every time we get a new album, I got to really sit with it and decide. Lemonade is definitely probably in my top three, at least my top four.
Yeah.
And it might be top two.
Yeah, Lemonade definitely top two for me personally. Yeah. Yeah.
So I really love Lemonade, and I think the songs where she's experimenting with other genres mm-hmm. are my personal favorite on Lemonade. Don't Hurt Yourself is, what's my favorite Beyonce song? Don't Hurt Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me nothing about it.
Six Inch, but Daddy's Lessons, right there.
Six yeah. Inch did kind of mm-hmm. slap. But I think Daddy's Lessons for me was, because that's the kind of, again, that's the kind of country music I like. Like, I love a murder ballad. Mm-hmm. I love a scorned woman tale. Like, that's, if it ain't got that in it, I don't want to hear about you on the back porch.
At all.
Did somebody get shot? Then leave me alone.
Okay.
Okay. So, so Daddy's Lessons and the, like, resentment and the, like, aggressiveness of that song really resonated for me. And I also just think she sounds great. And mm-hmm. so when she performed that live and you added the instruments, you added the horns, the orchestra, you had the Dixie Chicks. Let me tell you something.
It was doing it for
me. Literally when Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages came out, I listened to them and I said, that's so nice. And then I went and played Daddy's Lessons like 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm into it. I also really liked Daddy's Lessons when it first came out. You know what? That's a lie. It definitely had to grow on me. It definitely had to grow on me.
Why?
I am not a country music girly. And that was like, I feel like Daddy's Lessons. Is it Daddy Lessons or Daddy's? It's Daddy Lessons, I think.
I don't know.
I think Daddy Lessons.
But I don't know.
is even more country. It's more like country than this album that we just got.
Maybe. I think this album had, okay, this album definitely has some country songs. I would say it's as country as some of the music.
You think so? Okay. If that, Daddy's Lessons feels like a country song. Whereas, okay, Daddy Lessons feels like a country song, whereas, what's the name of this damn album? Cowboy Carter feels like mixing genres.
Yes, you know? But there are songs to me, like when I think of Daughter, Daughter to me is like Murder Ballad. Mm-hmm. Like that's the country music that I like. Mm-hmm. Even when I think of like Flamingo, when I think of Two Must Want It Too, mm-hmm. There are songs on there that feel country to me.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I would argue, and I've argued this with people, and I know people don't want me to, I don't think 16 Carriages is that country.
Yeah, it's an R&B song.
That's an R&B song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Which is fine. Again.
I want us to be. And I like
it. I like it.
But I do want us to be honest about it. It's not a country song.
Yeah.
So that's my thought there. But there are songs on here that I feel are country.
Okay. Got you. Yeah. Daddy Lessons definitely grew on me over time. But it took a minute. I like it in the flow of the album. But is it something that I go and seek out by itself often? No. But if I am listening Lemonade, I'm going to include Daddy Lessons.
I seek out Daddy Lessons. One, there are two things that I love when Beyoncé does. When she whacks a man and when she whacks Matthew Knowles.
Period.
And you're telling me that there's a song where she's doing both?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Add it to my faves.
That's very fair. Add it to the faves list. Yeah. I'm not mad. Okay, before we dive into Cowboy Carter for real, I would like to tell y'all my favorite country songs, okay? Or country-ish songs. Of course, we have the classic Before He Cheats by Miss Carrie Underwood. Because she meant that shit with her whole chest. And I scream it at the top of my lungs. It's one of my like car karaoke songs. Like when I'm singing in the car, that's one of the ones I'm going to sing. Also, Set Fire to the Rain by Adele is another one I'm going to sing. Not that it's country.
That feels country
to
you?
It's not country. It's not country. That's just another carpool karaoke song.
Interesting. Okay.
It's on the same playlist for me. I love to belt those because they at the top of their register.
I want to hear it.
no problem. I'm joking.
I would never do that.
Okay.
God. Whew.
Anyways, Buckle Bunny by Miss Tanner Adele lately has been very fun for me. Shout out Tanner. It's great. If you have not heard it, it's like, I don't listen to country music.
Not
so I don't
country
feel
trap.
Like, exactly. I don't want to say what is and is not country music or like what genre things really fall into. To me, it does feel like country trap. It feels like Lil Nas X, Old Town Roads, country. Which I like that shit too. That was great too. But yeah, that's another one that I really like.
I love Buckle Bunny, but the issue for me with Buckle Bunny is I don't care after the first verse.
Okay.
So I feel like the song, like I love the first verse. The switch up after the first verse, every time I'm starting it over or I'm turning it off.
That's fair. I understand that.
So that's awkward.
Yeah.
But I do love the first verse hits.
I understand how you arrived there. And then I have to do a small Taylor Swift tour, a small early work of Taylor Swift. I pulled out three songs in particular that resonate with me. And this is the Taylor Swift episode. For those of y'all who have been waiting for one, this is all you getting out of me. Sorry. Teardrops on My Guitar, delicious. Our Song, beautiful. And 15 is beautiful as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And amen.
Picture to Burn. Do you remember Picture to Burn?
No. Okay. I wasn't deep into Taylor. I listened.
That was the single.
How did it go?
As far as I'm concerned, you're just another picture to burn. It was a popular song and she had to change the lyrics after a few years because she was like, go and tell your friends that I'm obsessive and crazy. That's fine. I'll tell mine you're gay. And then everybody was like, okay, ma'am, please. Okay. So she changed the lyrics after that. But a banger. Now, we did need to, that was a lot, but a banger nevertheless.
Okay. I don't know that song. I don't know that I've ever heard that song, but I do remember that controversy around
I'll tell my friends that you're gay, and her changing the lyrics around that. The girlies used to just be saying any goddamn thing on songs.
Any and everything on the track. They don't give a damn. Like, they don't give a damn.
I'll tell my friends you're gay. Haley calling bitches whores and nothing more.
And me.
I'll still go up. I still go up. I wish she would sing it. I really do wish Haley would sing it. This is a tangent, but I wish Haley would sing it. She doesn't. She like puts the mic out
to
the crowd.
She gives it to everybody else.
She
lets
us say it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it every time. You're once every a time, whore and you're nothing more. Sorry. It'll never change.
That'll never change. Mm. I feel like with country music, though, country music is kind of, I mean, it's with all genres. If you're a woman, if you're a black woman, like you do kind of got to suspend. Like I'm pretty sure me and Miranda Lambert wouldn't get along. I'm pretty sure she has this song called Only Prettier, and it's like clearly a song about like Republicans versus Democrats. Okay. And it's like, we're just like you, only prettier.
I mean, that's a take, sure.
And it's like, I forgot these are Southern white women. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. So I do feel like sometimes you got to kind of like skirt around the bullshit if you listen
or
to
when Carrie Underwood came out as anti-vax or whatever.
Did she? Missed it.
I hope I didn't make that up. I think at some point she like said something that was a little iffy sometime during the pandemic. People were like, da da da, huh?
What do y'all be expecting out of people?
I know. I just want to enjoy my little, you know what I mean? I just want to enjoy before he cheats and keep pushing. Okay, we'll move on to Cowboy Carter now. I'll start off easy. I already know the answer, but did you like it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what I will say is that it continues to grow on me more and more. The first few times I heard the leak.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it 24 hours before it came out, and I sat with it maybe two or three times that day, and it was long to me, and I thought it was fine. I hate that thing. I thought it was fine. And now I feel drastically different. Mm-hmm. I like love the album. There are very few songs that I would cut. It doesn't feel too long. We could cut a few songs. Like we at the peak of my memory and my ability to pay attention, but I overwhelmingly really, really like the album, and songs that I was iffy about, I now am obsessed with.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
What songs were you iffy about that you now switched into obsession?
The one, my current hyperfixation is Two Hands to Heaven, which I thought was a cute song when I heard it the first time, mm-hmm. but I didn't really stop to, I was like very early into Daughter, into My Rose, into Yaya, obviously. And I didn't get into I like Desert Eagle too, but I didn't get into Two Hands to Heaven and Tyrant. Mm-hmm. Like I thought they were cute, but I wasn't like going hard. And now that's all I listen to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are those your favorite tracks? I was going to ask you your favorite tracks. Are those the ones?
Yeah, I think. See, that's hard because I feel like I named six songs. I love Daughter.
I got six listed for my faves right here.
I love Daughter. I love Yaya. I love Two Hands to Heaven. I love Tyrant. I love My Rose. I would say, am I missing something? What am I missing? Oh, Desert Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I would say those are probably like the top ones for me.
Got it. Okay. I will say I have only listened to this album in its entirety three times. So I pulled out my faves, but it's these could shift at any point. American Requiem, of course. Blackbird. I really like Blackbird. That's one
like
that I've like had on repeat. That's like I've pulled out
like
and
Blackbird
have listened to it and it's on its own. Two of America's Most Wanted. Damn, not I'm calling it the Tupac song. Two Most Wanted, Yaya, Tyrant, and Amen. Those are my
favorites.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good list. Blackbird gave me chills, and it almost made me tear.
It makes me cry. That one, yeah, that's the main one where I'm like, ooh. Mm-hmm.
Now, not my mama. not my mama telling me she listened to the album on last Friday when it came out. And she was like, that song Beyonce wrote, that Blackbird song. And I said, that's literally Beyonce. That's a cover. It's a cover of who? I said, Mama, the Beatles. And she was like, girl, I didn't know that.
I literally didn't know. I knew it was
Sequoia,
a cover.
Sequoia, don't piss me off.
No, I'm
Paul McCartney.
I don't know anything about those men.
Paul McCartney.
I don't know anything about those men. On purpose.
It's funny because I was talking to another Black friend who grew up in like mixed spaces, but predominantly white spaces. Mm-hmm. And I told her a couple years ago, I was like, yeah, I can promise you my family can't name 5 Beatles songs. And she's like, Joe, that's not true. Everybody can. And I said, babes, no, they can.
No.
And I went from my mama to my aunt to my aunt. And I said, name 5 Beatles songs. And they were all like,
I'm literally struggling to think of one right now off the top of my head. Hold on.
My mama got Eleanor
Hey
Rigby,
Jude,
which was
is that a Beatles song?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah. Wait, Eleanor Rigby?
My mama got Eleanor Rigby, which
the name
is literally
of your dog?
A cheat because that's the name of my damn dog. Yes.
You named your dog after a Beatles song?
Did you not know where the girl got the name
no,
from?
No, I thought it was named after the president's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt? Yeah. Every day you got your way to piss me the hell off.
I did.
Every day.
You never
and doing
that.
It in front of a microphone is crazy. I thought it was self-explanatory.
Jewel, you thought it was like I grew up around white people, but I did my damnedest to not.
She said, I did not absorb none of that culture, baby.
Okay. All right, let's go to break.
This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast. And we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore. Okay. Woo! Child, we must move on. We must move. I feel like my favorite tracks generally are the not super country ones, like Yaya Tyrant, Amen. I don't even think those are country for real. Two Most Wanted is country. Blackbird is country. American Requiem. Why can't I say fucking Requiem? Requiem. Anyways, y'all know what song I'm saying. American Requiem is like somewhere in that blended category.
But see, doesn't that tell you something about genres? I guess I've experienced the Beatles as a rock band, so I don't consider Blackbird to be country. Okay. And also the Beatles are literally not even from America. They literally like...
No, that's super fair.
These are some British people. But I guess my point is to try to say how like malleable
it is. These. Right. We spend too much time getting hung up on genres, and it's not even about that for real. It's just it's art at the end of the day.
I mean, it's art. It's for sure a country song on this album. When
that's
you hear
what I was
going to
ask
like,
you.
The vocal style.
Like, I don't know the original version, but is it like same instrumentation?
So the guitar is the same, but the harmonies mm-hmm. and the background vocals are not there in the original. It's just Paul.
Okay.
And so it doesn't have those kind of signature harmonious melodic kind of background vocals, which I think is what to me makes it feel more country is like all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I will say, if you're not familiar with Blackbird, Paul McCartney wrote it because he was overseas watching the civil rights movement unfold. And it was inspired by the Little Rock Nine as they were trying to integrate the school system there. And it was Black Bird was about a Black woman. It was this historic picture of her trying to walk into the school. It feels like a very powerful reclaiming mm-hmm. to then have a group of Black women singing this song.
That definitely makes sense. Yeah. Let's talk about the CMAs of it all from American Requiem. So Beyonce went on the CMAs, what, maybe like 10 years ago at this point? It was like a really long time ago, feels like.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it was like a decade at this point. And I believe it's since been scrubbed from the internet, the way that the crowd was reacting to her, if I'm not mistaken.
The funny thing is I remember watching it and I don't even remember. I was so into the performance that I don't remember anybody looking mad. I don't doubt that they did.
I don't remember that either, but I'm wondering if like we just saw like a version where they weren't panning to the crowd to show that these motherfuckers look mad.
Yeah, Vulture did a oral history that just came out in the last like week or so about that performance and about what the reaction was like in the like facility versus on TV. And that the atmosphere, kind of the energy shift, was way more palpable in the actual auditorium than it was on television. Because I thought we was having a good time.
I guess I'm just confused. I had no idea. Is it literally because she is a Black woman that the shift was so clear?
This is a Black woman who is not historically a country artist. And is bringing the Dixie Chicks back.
Okay. And they already wasn't fucking with the Dixie Chicks.
We don't like them, and we don't claim you.
And we don't like them.
Now we let you on the stage, which was, you should be grateful. Now we let you on the stage, and you came up here bringing the ops.
Okay.
That's a lot of boldness.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And
I mean, stupid, but yeah.
And she did Daddy Lessons there? So this wasn't 10 years ago then, because fucking that didn't come out 10 years ago.
I want to say it was 2016.
Right. So
I
want to say it was 2016. Ago. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay.
I what is always so funny to me, and I'm not whacking Beyonce specifically, because I think we've all had these moments, but it's like, girl, what'd you think that reaction was going to be?
That is very fair. You bringing out the ops and you kind of an outsider in the space in the first place.
You know, it is kind of, to me, that is not a surprising reaction.
That's fair.
Especially for that time in America.
That's super fair. Yeah. Oh, 2016, the election time. Yeah, no, oh my God, we're in an election year again. Please.
When we think about, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. When we think about, when we think about white rage and the way that like Trump's election was a response to having a Black president, like this was all going on at that time. And here you go bringing your Black ass up here.
Yep.
To perform a song.
Was this after she had
somebody we already said was
like done the Super Bowl? People swore she was militant and Black as hell in the performance.
Wouldn't that have been the same? Because Formation is on Lemonade, right?
Yeah, Formation is on Lemonade, yes.
It would have been the same era. I don't know which came first.
Okay, the Super Bowl is in February, so likely that it came first.
But also think about the fact that, like, even if the Super Bowl didn't come first, the Formation album came first where she was on a sinking police car.
Oh.
Talking about her Mama Louisiana Negro noses. Period. So, like, even if we hadn't gotten the Super Bowl performance, we had already gotten that rhetoric. Mm-hmm.
What really pisses me off is the way that Black people are so, like, accepting of other folks that are infiltrating our things, i.e. a Post Malone. When Post Malone first came out, I'm part of the problem. I loved White Iverson. White Iverson smacks, even still to this day. But we was very quick to accept a Post Malone and welcome him into the spaces and collaborate and do all this stuff. Absolutely. White Americans are never, never as quick to accept Black people in their spaces as we are to accept them in our spaces. And I'm personally tired of it. I've had enough.
They don't have to. That. They don't have to accept us.
And we don't have to accept them either.
They don't have to. And you're right. You're right. You're
and we
right.
need to be more discerning. Ideally, I would love to be more discerning.
I ain't going to let White Iverson go.
I'm not. But me personally.
You know, I want that at my funeral.
Jewel, we're not doing this again. You're actually about to piss me off. So we're not doing this again. Go Thank on. You. Who the fuck wants White Iverson at their funeral?
I want it at my funeral, and I want people to like swag surf. Like I want the
White
pallbearers
Iverson
to swag surf, like a somber swag surf to my casket. Mind you, I want to be cremated, but there has to. I don't know. We got to figure it out. But I want them to swag surf to my casket and carry me
to
on
White
out.
Iverson. Hey, please.
When I started balling, I was young.
And you know, I really do feel that lyric. When I started balling, I was young.
And then when you get the like, the yeah. like you got the background yeah. vocals coming in. Listen, I saw Post Malone perform it once.
Me too.
Because I went to a as a fucking entertainment reporter, I've been to a lot of concerts that I'm just like, why was I there? I went to a Justin Bieber concert once, and Post Malone opened.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. It was a bunch of teenage children singing Honk Tight. It really made me uncomfortable. Post Malone opened up and he performed White Iverson, and something about hearing that in the stadium.
It was different. When I saw Post Malone live, mind you, I've always liked Post Malone. Like, I'm talking right now, but like, I like Post Malone generally. I was like, oh shit, this man's talented. Wait. Yeah, I was taken aback. I was at Rolling Loud. Not Rolling Loud. I've never been to Rolling Loud, please. I was at Tyler, the Creator's Festival, whatever that's called. I can't vlog. And and he was there. And I was like, I guess I'll stay for Post Malone's performance. Smacked. 8. I was shocked.
I do think we've, as a community, become less impressed. Or less easily impressed. Like, I think about the reception of Justin Timberlake now versus what it used to be.
Oh, thank God.
And, like, when he gets up there and he busts his little move and we'd be like, why do you look... I mean, part of it is he is getting older. But, like, whenever he gets up and dances now, we're like, did we used to say you could
right.
dance? Like, what are you doing?
No,
like,
I really do feel that.
It just has not aged well. And that's not, like, is he talented? Yes. Could he dance? Yes. Could he sing? Yes. Did he have good music? Although I would argue that some, like, I went back and listened to Future Sex love songs. It don't age as well as we
That's
think.
That's fair. But, 2020 experience. Still, you know, still do what it needs
20,
to do.
Now, yeah. Now, when we get to 2020 mm-hmm. experience, unfortunately, we're going to have to hit play. But, but yeah, so I think we're we still handing out tickets to the cookout, but we are a little more discerning.
You know, and I'm not mad about that. You're not wrong. We are still giving out cookout tickets. I wish that we would
Which
stop.
I feel like we don't need to be giving hit None. Tickets.
I yeah. think that we can no wrap entrance. It up. No entrance. Mm-mm. You can't have a ticket.
Thank you for your allyship and support. You bought the baked beans, you know, but you will not get to partake.
Maybe she was born with it. If you wasn't born with it, I don't know what to tell you. You got to go. Yeah. No, I definitely feel that. What other song do I want to talk about? Oh, American Requiem and Yaya seem very Prince coded to me, which make me love them a little bit more.
Yaya gives me Tina.
Yes.
Gives me Tina Turner.
Definitely. Real bad.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but I got a music business certificate from Berklee College of Music a few years ago.
Here you
know,
you
I don't
go.
Like to
with some,
whatever.
Some new shit
anyway,
that I don't know about
fact.
You. That's crazy
fun
as hell.
Fact. But anyway, and I remember I only bring it up because I was taking this like class about the history of music, whatever, rock and roll, da 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 da. And it used to annoy the hell out of me because they would be like, and then there was Tina Turner, and also, and we would just like focus on like Bruce Springsteen and the Beatles and shit. And I was just like, nice, lovely. But they always presented the information as if we know you don't know about this Black artist. So we're going to educate you just a little bit, but not too much. But like they always assumed a deep knowledge of these like white rock gods. And I was like, girl, I don't know
School
them.
School of Music, they're doing shit like this?
Berklee College School of Music. I took it online. But yeah, like they assumed this like knowledge it was like, yeah, so we know that you know the basics. We're going to jump into it. And I was like, well, actually, I don't.
No shade. Nothing about Bruce Springsteen. Who was the other man?
What I know about white musicians, I had to find out on my own through MySpace and Google, baby. My mama was not playing that, you know? And so it always annoyed me, and it made me go harder into my, like, learning about the legacy of Black people in rock and roll and like early genres. Anyway, it very much gives Tina Turner and how iconic. Oh my God, when I think about her days of like her early days performing with Ike, and it, she was just so electric. And I think Yaya really gives live energy, even though it is recorded. And it reminds me of that. But then it also reminds me of this performance Beyonce did for like, it was like Grammy honors or something. And they were honoring Stevie Wonder. And she performed one of his songs. And gosh, I know the name of the song, but I can't remember it right now. And she performed that song. And when I tell you, it was electric. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And it had some of the same intonations and like, yeah, like this, a lot of that same energy is in Yaya. And I'm just like, oh, I love it. Cause I go back and watch that performance all the time. And yeah, so that it, Stevie and Tina and all of these like icons, it just really reminds me of that.
I definitely feel that. I guess I was under the impression that everybody knew Tina Turner, like that everybody was pretty familiar with Tina Turner. And that's not true, huh?
They just talk. It was just I don't know how to describe it. It just was an othering that I hadn't really. No tea, no shade. I feel like them people should have been other, not teen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, not the Black girlies. And so it was just interesting to me because I feel like there are times, especially me as a person who grew up in Atlanta in a predominantly Black neighborhood, we were always the center. Because who was going to decenter us? And so whenever I had to go into like, especially like in my early 20s, like fresh out of high school, college, whenever I would go into predominantly white spaces and realize that they thought white people were the center, it always threw me off. Because I was like,
why do you think that?
Would you think that I know? Why would you think I know him? Where would I have known him from? Iconic for who? You know, and this is as somebody who loves all artists and who loves all genres and who Sequoia just called weird 20 minutes ago for knowing shit. But like, you know, like you need to stop assuming that this was everybody was brought up under this music because they were not.
Yeah, I definitely feel that too. I'm like, again, our experiences are different in that I did grow up in the white spaces and stuff. And I feel like my form of rebellion was proudly being like, nope,
I ain't listening
never
to
heard
it.
Of it. Nope. Can't name a Beatles song. Anything else? That's what the fuck I thought, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, that centering also pisses me off. I don't appreciate
it. Yeah, it just really, it was something that I hadn't really thought about until then. And then, you know, I had to be the Black girl in a class. Whenever it was like, write a paper on this, write a paper on that. I was always going to tell you what the Black people did. I was always going to tell you about the Black artist who, you know, was breaking barriers and who was making songs that were the, you know, it goes into like when I did that Spotify, when I did that Spotify exhibit, and it's like, let's talk about the Black artists who were making the song, like Irma Franklin, Aretha Franklin's sister made Janis Joplin, take another little piece of my heart now, baby, break it. I don't know why I can't remember songs titles now, right now. Irma Franklin, a Black lady, Aretha Franklin's sister, made that song before Janis Joplin made it famous.
Wow. The things you just really never know.
Yes. And so I had this book that was talking about how the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, all of these like artists were going to like Memphis and were going to all of these like predominantly Black music cities and really taking a lot of their inspiration from and working with Black artists.
And
so we cannot talk about their music and how iconic their music is without understanding the ways in which Black artists were influencing them as artists.
Very much that. Speaking of, I feel like this is a good transition into Miss Dolly. Miss Dolly, who was vocal about her influences being Black often. Appreciate you, Dolly. How do we feel about the Jolene? I've seen a lot of online discourse from a lot of different angles about the Jolene remake or cover. I feel like I find it hard to call it a cover because it's not a cover. It's just a remake. How do we feel about it?
I'm okay if you like it, but I don't like it.
I feel mostly indifferent about it, TBH. I didn't feel particularly strong about original Jolene. I don't feel strong about new Jolene.
That's wrong.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to be that.
Okay. Now, we talked about somebody who did the damn Jolene cover. It's Miley Cyrus, and we should have left it the hell alone after she did it. Okay? Because she ate that damn.
I saw a video of Miley talking about, Jolene, you fucking slut.
That was back when Miley was trying to, it was like post Disney when Miley was trying to show that she could give vocals. She wasn't just a fun time girl. And she was doing a lot of acoustic covers, and she did that cover of Jolene and like talented girl, a very vocals. Okay. I don't like it. I don't.
A lot of people feel the same.
It's not that deep to me. Like, I'm not finna argue with y'all about it. We really don't have to get into the, like, intricacies of the lyrics. We don't have to get into, like, rage being a form of insecurity. Right. Or was she talking about herself? Or was she talking about Mama Tina? I don't care. I just don't like it.
Bottom line is, you just didn't like it.
It didn't land for me.
I saw somebody online, and this is where, obviously, online just gets exhausting. Like, I feel like we really have to go outside and touch grass. Somebody online was saying that the only reason that we feel a way about it, about the way that Beyonce changed Jolene, is because it's too black now. And I was like, da-da-da-da-da. Okay. If you say so.
I'm not gonna argue with y'all about it. That's like when y'all try to convince me that that man that is now convicted for domestic violence, that we didn't like him because we was racist. And I just said he wasn't cute. And now here y'all go telling, Jonathan Majors. Oh. And now here y'all go trying to say that I was racist because I said the man wasn't cute.
One,
he not cute.
Plus one, same shit. I said, no, I don't find Jonathan Majors attractive.
And now y'all out here being like, and that's because you don't like predominantly black features.
I got the exact same thing too. I was like, y'all, the man's just not cute to me. I don't know what else to tell y'all. I'm so sorry.
And I'm not finna argue with you about it. You're not finna get into me being anti-black.
You see my man. He black. There's nothing ambiguous about it.
I'm not getting into black features and European features. Would you please get out of my face? I said the man wasn't cute, and I stand by that.
And I'd say it again.
And here y'all go trying to live out y'all civil rights fantasies through this man, and now y'all mad because he trying to have his wife be like Coretta. Leave me alone.
Anyways, back to the Miley Cyrus of it. Did you like Miley's little feature?
I loved it.
That one did have to go on
it.
I didn't like it at first. Yeah,
really?
No. I wasn't into it at first. I thought something about the blending of their voices I just didn't care for. But as
Are you serious? But as
I've like listened to it and acclimated to, I will say I start from a place with Miley that is different than most people that I know. I start from a much I don't see the vision as clearly as everybody else does vocal wise. But I feel this, I have unpopular opinions about voices often, about the actual voice of a person often. So that's neither here nor there, but I felt like she was throwing me off a little bit, but I've since come around and I really like the song and it's really sweet too. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. That one starts to make me tear up too after a little bit.
We love a lesbian ode, a romantic tale.
Was that
that's really what it's about. That is, please go listen, look at the lyrics. Because everybody keeps saying that's about my bestie. And I'm like,
I thought it was bestie.
Let me pull up the lyrics while we're talking. Because I want you to know that y'all need to stop. Don't dedicate that to me. Don't dedicate that to me.
So don't put that on your birthday post like I was planning to. Okay, I won't put it.
Unless you're trying to send me a message and then I'm a Tyler the Creator.
Not you would Tyler the Creator me. That's nuts. That is crazy that you would do that to me.
But I think their vocals blend so well together, and I think there's a Beyonce, like, so often is known for the power of her vocals, but I think she really showed a lot of restraint in this song, and I think she really matched Miley's voice a lot in this song. I think it's beautiful. I don't know. I think that's a timeless song.
It does give timeless. I really like it now. It really did have to grow on me, but I like it now. It's a good one. Congratulations, Miley, because some people didn't make it. Where's Lady Gaga? Sorry, continue.
The lyrics, making waves in the wind with my empty hand, my other hand on you.
I heard that. I said, oh.
It's been a while since. it's been a while since I haven't tried to pull away, but it's time for something
that's
new.
That's just, you avoid it. I'm not going to be avoiding no more. I'm going to be communicative. That's how I took it. So I'm going to put it on your birthday post anyways. I'm going to put it on your birthday post. And
well, you do what you feel is best, Sweet Pea, and we'll go from there.
Where's Lady Gaga? We need to wrap up shortly. But where the hell is Lady Gaga? That's what I need to know.
Y'all got to move on from Steph.
No, I don't want to. Y'all
got to move on.
I want somebody to answer for y'all that. Who's to blame? Are y'all mad at each other?
Where did you want her to be? Because it seems like the album is complete. So where did you want Lady Gaga to
be? Where she was going to be? She needed to be in there somewhere. It was ample opportunity. It's 27 tracks on this motherfucker. She could have got an interlude. Post Malone is on the album.
The interludes are very clear.
Why is Lady Gaga not on the album? Where is she?
You said, I'm sorry. If Post made the cut.
It's egregious. And Shaboozy is on there. I don't know him. So where the fuck?
Shaboozy on there twice.
Where the fuck is Stephanie Germanotta? Where is she?
She could have gave a little doo-wop bop.
You think they hate each other?
No, I just think she's not on the album. I think y'all are dragging.
I think they hate each other because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe Gaga gonna be on Act 3.
On the rock one? This would be the one for her to be on. Why would she be on the rock one? Gaga don't make no damn rock music. She made Joanne. No, I don't like that you're not as upset as I am about this. This is upsetting.
I am like, it would have been nice for us to have a reunion of Gaga and Beyonce. But honestly, that's as far as my, and I'm moving on. Like, I'm not mad about it.
Y'all's the one that said part one. We didn't make that up. When y'all did telephone, y'all's the one that said part one. So where's part two?
Okay. And she also said, put it in a love song with Alicia Keys and then never put the video out. We know the lady lied. She also,
we never,
y'all got to stop dragging that lady. That lady didn't do nothing to y'all. She also said Renaissance teaser, music video teaser or whatever the hell, and then proceeded to not put that nail out visually.
Somebody needs to make a Beyonce lie compilation like they do SZA.
Beyonce That's lies. The way we talk about SZA, we might want to start to look at Beyonce and the untruth she's telling because it's not adding up.
Okay. I've had enough. Okay. Yeah, no, I've had enough.
I'm sorry.
I don't really have anything else. I like the album overall. It's a very warm feeling. It feels nostalgic, and I don't know why, because I didn't listen to country music growing up, but it has a certain, maybe that is like some epigenetic shit.
Because it's not a country album.
Or some genetic shit, you know, like it runs down my veins because my family's from Alabama. Maybe that's the thing. You know what I mean? So I just naturally feel at home when I hear it.
Nothing else Southern runs down your veins, so I'm going to say that's no.
That's a lie.
That's untrue.
I cook. Like I'm Southern. I done ate fried green tomatoes with the best of them. Okay.
Sequoia had chitlins one time and now
I have chitlins regularly, actually.
I know, and that's depressing.
Anyway, child, that's it. That's all I got for this episode. Jewel, can you let them know where they can find you online or any last thoughts that you have? If you would like anything else?
No, I think I'm still trying to figure out where the album ranks on my favorite Beyonce albums. But overall, I think it's a really great album. I do agree it's not a country album. It's a Beyonce album.
She said that.
But I think it's really solid. And I also feel like this is the type of album that, like, she gives that note about not winning album of the year in, what song is that? Sweet Honey Buckin'. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she says, AOTY didn't win, some took that shit on the chin, came back and fucked up the pen. And I feel like she's like somebody said that's a line designed to age poorly, and I agree with that. I think the streaming numbers on this album and the way that like people who have never listened to Beyonce, like think she got 85% new listeners from this album on Spotify. Like this is one of, and it, with the feature, Stevie Wonder, Dolly Parton, Linda Martell, like with the features and all of this is the type of shit that the Recording Academy eats up. I'm not going to put my eggs in the Recording Academy basket because they trifling every single year. And they lie every single year and they play. But if they are going to not play in Beyonce's face anytime, it would be for an album.
Okay.
Like this,
and if they don't fuck with her now,
I think Beyonce need to move on. That's my thought, but I can't tell her what to do.
Motherfucking choke. If they don't fuck with her now, they can choke.
I think Beyonce need to stop trying to impress them people.
I don't know if she is trying to impress them. I don't know. What y'all think Act 3 going to be? I really do think it's going to be a rock album. I hope so. And we would love to see
get one Miss Jack White on
Hayley
the line.
Williams.
Get Jack White on the line.
Jack White, she already got something with him. She don't need nothing else.
Call him back.
Hayley.
Get Willow on Hayley, the phone. Right.
Get ready,
now.
Babe. We got stuff coming up. Get ready, babe. We got stuff coming up, okay? Anyways, you can find me across all social media platforms at BPLPpod. You can email me at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com with hate mail, topic recommendations, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't send no hate mail.
Send hate mail. I can't promise that I won't send hate mail back, but you're welcome to send hate mail. Yeah, that's it. Jewel, let them know any projects you have going on, anything you would like to tell them to close up.
Social media is at Jewel Wicker Show across platforms, and whatever I'm working on, I usually drop it there.
And her newsletter is really good, so subscribe to the newsletter.
JewelWicker.substack.com. Mm-hmm.
And whatever she's working on, she'll drop it there too. So
I do. That's true.
Okay, bye y'all.